Chapter the 7th. Trude Toupie was bored. She had a beautiful home, money in the bank, now the remaining houses in the quarry had been sold, her bank loan paid off, and a rather snazzy car in the drive. The water had gone off earlier one evening, several months after all the properties in the quarry had been occupied. The next morning the water had returned, but somehow the pressure had been inexorably down. Later, the local water authority had claimed all was well with their fittings. Therefore, the loss of pressure was Trude's responsibility. Her new neighbours had not been too chuffed either. Trude had admitted to tell these folk that it was she who had developed the quarry and built their houses. These had then been sold to a local agent. She had felt it best to keep very quiet about this, whilst the water pressure issue was specifically at the forefront of their minds. Over the next few weeks, Elsman Drooptuit, Trude's gopher and handyman, was briefly seen about but rather quiet, which was severely bothersome to Trude. His reluctance to put in any type of personal appearance coincided with the water pressure loss. When Trude did finally track him down to have a conversation, Drooptuit claimed he had not really noticed how poor his morning shower had become. In actual fact, the outside annex, where he was now living, was at the end of the supply of water, and he had found the only way to get wet in the shower was to run around a bit. Notwithstanding her water problems, Trude was finding it increasingly difficult to occupy herself. The few friends she had were either at work or off in another part of the world, so she had a few playmates, if any. She needed another project. The building of the four houses in the quarry had gone really smoothly, and she grudgingly acknowledged Drooptuit had taken a huge part in the workload by managing the entire process. She had an inkling that he had done reasonably well out of the project, but in actual fact didn't even come close to realising how much Drooptuit, and indeed his mates, had done out of the build. It was therefore somewhat of a surprise to Trude when Elsman was seen to be gently knocking in an unusually submissive manner on the outside of her massive tri-fold opening glass garden doors. Putting her glossy magazine down, Trude opened one of the doors, allowing Elsman to insinuate his way into her fashionably decorated and notably huge living room, slinking into the room and sitting when invited. He started with the usual social chat about wellness and the weather. Elsman was always adept in turning on his cloying civility and obsequiousness, which exquisitely clouded his insincerity, sycophancy, deviousness and fraudulence. It was at this point he brought his uncle into the conversation, explaining what a wonderful employer he was, along with all his other philanthropic activities. Trude was now beginning to suspect where the conversation was essentially going, but just sat demurely on the edge of her leather sofa, saying nothing. It seemed that Elsman Drooptuit's uncle, of car dealership fame, was also on the planning committee of the local council, and had learned through his papers that the local authority were proposing to sell the lease for the ground. This news did send rather a large tingle down the back of Trude, who had successfully built four houses and now felt ready to scale up to 50 or so. What an opportunity. The downside was that she would need to work with Drooptuit again, and was not entirely sure whether she had the resilience to ignore his nocturnal building methods with his mates. Trude thanked Elsman very much for the information and thought to ask him what he considered could be done with the land, should they acquire the lease at a reasonable cost. She was astonished when Elsman opened the bag beside him, plucked out a file over 2 centimetres thick and handed it to her. Opening the file, Trude found page after page of precise plans for a variety of houses, flats and bungalows, as well as all the costings and profit margins, along with a substantial list of materials and equipment needed. Trude nearly dropped all the papers when she fully realised their importance. So she smartly squared off the file and stood. Moving elegantly across to the seated Ellsman, she offered a hand and thanked him for the file, whilst informing him that the contents truly needed significant study. Then, taking his hand, she manoeuvred him to the vertical and navigated him out of the glass door onto the patio. Waving goodbye, Trude turned on her heel and gracefully headed out of the sitting room so Ellsman could not see her anymore. Trude took days to look through all the details that Droogtwit had prepared, even fighting through all the numbers and accounts, the part she disliked probably the most. It was clearly a thorough job, but with one exception. No mention had been made anywhere about who was to be the contractor or project manager. Again, Trude was having severe reservations about Droogtwit's skills in taking on such a large project. Nevertheless, her interest had certainly been piqued, and she unquestionably wanted to know more. The next step was to visit the site to get a feel for it. Despite the gloomy weather forecast for the next day, it was arranged that Trude would drive herself and Ellsman to the ground, regardless of it only being a few minutes' walk from her house. As they turned off the main road into the track entrance and stopped before the padlocked chained gate, Ellsman produced the padlock key. How he had procured such a useful item, Trude could not imagine. Nevertheless, Ellsman had the key. He flew out of the car, undid the chain and opened the rather rusty and underused metal gate. Once the car was through, Ellsman managed to close the gate to avoid any sundry onlookers who might notice their activity. He then walked to the front of the car, which was now a little way up the track. Silly, spiky-heeled shoes in slightly muddy ground are not a good fit. Trude sunk to the back of each shoe as she got out of the car. From being impaled in the goo, she tottered over to some marginally firmer ground, where she tried to remove the mud from her shoes in longer grass. She had only worn them to impress Droogtwit that she was in charge by power dressing. Ellsman stood alongside as a support post for Trude, hands in pockets, trying badly to quench his inner glee about her predicament. Some while previously, a bloke in Sicily had been running around his local town, offending the local citizens and causing a substantial fuss on account of him being completely naked. He had been yelling and screaming that it found something to do with his weight and the amount of water that had slopped over the side of his bath. His landlady had been furious. It seems that the very basic physics that this chap called Archimedes discovered many years ago is still very relevant today. It was not clear to Trude, but unfortunately was to Ellsman, that their loss of water pressure at home might have consequences elsewhere. The badgers had moved out of their set, having failed to completely stem the flow of water coming from the strange blue root that the badger cubs had gnawed through a few months previously. Trude had managed to park a lovely bright little speedy car perfectly above the now water-filled badger set. The car weighed about 1,500 kilograms, concentrated at the front where the engine was. It was this part of the car that did not so much as sink as plunge into the submerged badger set. The resulting whoosh of sound was closely followed by 1,500 litres of sloppy, stinking mud and some small stones, which amounted to about 20 bathfuls of water. The positioning of both Trude and Ellsman was precision in the extreme, as they were inundated by the tsunami of gooey mud that descended from a considerable height. standing stock still, with a decent thickness of the sludge completely obscuring them from the surrounding countryside, they could not even open their eyes for the stream of goo still dripping down them. Two vertical chocolate bars, vibrating with anger and shock. The envelopment was so swift and so thorough that nothing worked. Voice, eyes, feelings, or sound.